a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 to 7. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. W. H. Auden wrote a poem about the crucifixion called Friday's Child, and in it he wrote of how strange God's ways are, and about how there's so much about the world and about God that's mysterious and baffling and leaves us tempted to give up on God altogether. And the poem ends with the silence of Good Friday, a silence which forces us to look at a figure on a cross and recognise God. And this silence condemns our attempts to live without God. This silence condemns our forgetfulness that we are created, and created for the purpose of living in relationship with our Creator. Too often we try to live self-sufficient lives. Now, as we approach Christmas, it's good to approach that festival with the eyes of a child in all its wonder. But you can't approach Good Friday that way. There can be no such innocence, because this time we are deeply involved. It's our sins as much as anyone else's that have brought Jesus there. But that's not all. The cross is not just an indictment of our sin. The cross is a sign that the last word doesn't rest with us and what we get wrong. The last word rests with God's ability to transform and redeem. In John's Gospel, in particular, the crucifixion is presented as a moment of triumph. A dark and exhausted triumph, but triumph nonetheless. And this is why. This is God's answer to sin and suffering. And it's something the Old Testament vaguely pointed towards. In Isaiah, a figure described as a suffering servant is described. A figure whose suffering will somehow be redemptive for others. Well, here he is. That was God's answer then, and it's God's answer now. And the church's job is to shout out that what people need is to be forgiven, to be embraced, to be brought back into relationship with their Creator, without which there is no real purpose or joy or depth in life. There are hundreds of millions of different ways of doing that. But people need to know that Jesus died for them. That the events of Good Friday speak deeply and resonantly to them and their human condition. And the best way forward is for us to come afresh and be filled with wonder at what God has done for us. And then to pray that God's Holy Spirit will give us opportunities to make our faith known, and that people will see that our faith has made a difference in our lives. But perhaps that's for tomorrow. Perhaps for today, a time of silence is needed. A time of reflection and prayer and looking at the cross, knowing that it's for us and for our salvation that Jesus hangs there. That poem by W.H. Auden, by the way, ends this way. Meanwhile, a silence on the cross, as dead as we shall ever be, speaks of some total gain or loss, and you and I are free to guess from the insulted face just what appearances he saves by dying in a public place, a death reserved for slaves. Amen. Now, you've all got a nail, hopefully. And this isn't some odd Methodist thing. This is simply an aid to reflection. I don't need to spell out the significance of the nail. But I invite you just to hold it and to use it as the focus of your reflections. But first, some words from the Gospels. Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two criminals, one on either side, with Jesus between them, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Creator, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." One of the criminals beside Jesus said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for our thoughtless and hurtful actions and our unwillingness to recognize your presence in our midst. Spirit of promise and wholeness, we reach out to you in prayer. So take the nail that you've got and just hold it. And as you feel it between your fingers, reflect on when you have felt hurt or humiliation, and feel God's presence with you as you live with that hurt. Now reflect for a moment when you have stood aside and observed someone wrongly treated or when you have caused hurt and humiliation, when you have wrongly treated someone. In this moment of silence, turn towards God and ask for the courage to empower you to stand with those who are wrongly treated. Where you have acted wrongly, receive forgiveness and the courage to take action towards reconciliation. On this darkest of days, we remember the death of Jesus of Nazareth, confessing our participation today in the sin of this world. We come forward to the cross. We are invited to place our fears and judgment, our guilt and our worries at the foot of the cross. We are promised forgiveness and hope. And as we prepare to approach the cross with our burdens and hope, join with me in bringing the burdens and the brokenness of the world and those in your own hearts. So we bring to the cross our awareness of violence in ourselves and the world. We bring to the cross our fears that can sour into hate. We bring to the cross our judgment of the beliefs of others. In the cross, we see an end, but also a doorway to a new beginning with God. And so, as the last part of this morning's service, I'm going to invite you to bring your nail and to deposit it in one of the two buckets at the front, and just let that nail be a symbol of anything that you want to bring to the cross. And if you want to give your nail to somebody else to bring for you, that's fine. So come. Leave the old behind and prepare to be born anew. When you're ready, bring your nail forward, releasing your hurts and your guilt to God, placing them at the foot of the cross. I invite you to do that now.